What is the best gift you have ever received? If I could ask you to list that one gift, what is the one gift that you would put down as the best gift you ever received? How big is it? How much did it cost? Who gave it to you? Think about that for a moment. I brought some objects here, some items with me today. I just want to go through with you real quick. And you can see, got a light here. Nice light. Got a cutoff saw. Yeah, I'm a guy, so I have to turn it on. So it has to work. But I also have an old box of chalk. Old box of chalk. I have a piece of construction paper here in the shape of feet that says a footnote for Mom. And a little, which some of you probably in the back can't see, but a little paper doll. The only thing these items have in common is they're all gifts, along with this hat, which was given to me by my mom. This is what my dad used to wear. I know there's one young man in the audience can remember this hat, but he used to wear it when he was out in the hay field. So I got that hat. That was a gift. And most of you probably would think, well, some of these gifts here are worthless. What if we put these things up for auction? There might be a few of you guys want to bid on some tools here. But what makes these gifts special? Well, I mentioned to Janice, you know, I was given the teaching was on gifts today. And I said, you need a couple of things. And she went right and found these two gifts. Why were these so special to her? Well, these gifts were given to her by her boys when they were younger. One, we went on a trip, come back with, this is Mom, this is for you because I love you. And this little footnote to Mom that says, I will be your maid for the next 3 weeks. Okay. These tools, in a couple years, I'll either lose them, the batteries will go bad, there'll be an upgrade, and as a guy, you know, I'll have to get the upgrade. These gifts, however, will be around forever. Why? So let me ask you again, what is the best gift you ever received? How much did it cost? Who gave it to you? See, the Bible tells us if you give the entire world but yet not have love, you've given nothing. It's the love and the thought behind these gifts, and you all have them in your house. I guarantee you, some of you have them hanging on your refrigerator. You have a shoebox somewhere with gifts that outweigh the most expensive thing you ever received in your life because of who gave the gift and how it was received. It's all about the love, the thoughtfulness that makes the gift what it is to you and I. And I can tell you unequivocally right now, there are two young men, the boys that run through our house 5 days a week that we get the privilege of, Janice does most days, of babysitting, Boston and Caden. When they give me things, I guarantee you there are gifts I will cherish forever. Because of the love that we have one for another, the things we do. These are gifts that will last forever. So what is the best gift you've ever received? We just have come through the Christmas season, and some of you got so stressed out during the season trying to find the perfect gift, did you not? For someone who has everything. And you had trouble finding it. You got up early in the morning and maybe you stood in line for an hour or two to get that perfect gift for that special someone. I'm here to tell you the best gift giver in the universe, his name is God. God knows which gift to give to each of us to make a difference in people's lives for a greater purpose. He always knows what you and I need. You don't ever have to re-gift the gift that God gives. Don't raise your hand if you re-gifted, because someone here might see you put your hand up and say, now I know where that scarf went. You don't have to re-gift because God knows exactly what you do. So if you're here for the first time and maybe you're just checking out this thing called Christianity, maybe you're here at Good News Gathering, let me tell you, there is a gift that he wants to give and he has given to most of us that he wants to give to everybody, and that gift is the gift that comes through Jesus. It's yours to take. It is the perfect gift given by the perfect person who ever walked the earth. So let me tell you, that gift is for you to take if you choose, and we hope you do here at Good News Gathering. Take that gift that he offers through Jesus. And in one of our last surveys, I was told that about 60-some percent of the people here at Good News Gathering were actually serving in ministry, which means 30-some percent have yet to start using their gift in ministry here at Good News Gathering. And some of you have said, well, you know, Wayne, I don't have any ability, I don't have any gifts, I don't have this. I'm going to tell you, we're here to talk about the gift that God has to give to you, the best gift giver ever, who has the ability to give you a gift for you and I to use, and we just have to accept it. And hopefully today through this teaching, we can get rid of all of the excuses that we may throw out there, as Sherry talked about in her prayer, to use that gift he's given, because he knows exactly what you and I need to make a difference. And if you have read anything in the Bible, or if you read the Bible, there are story after story after story in the Bible of God using people, gifting people to make a huge difference in people's lives, in the nation and in the world, that said they had no ability, no gift, there's no talent there to use. And God says, I'm choosing you. When you come in today, you were given an outline in your packet of information, a white sheet of paper with holes punched in the side of it. Before we go any farther, there's a fill-in I want you to get to. Because if we don't get by this step right now, I've got a few minutes to try to get you by this step to believe and understand this, that God, that first fill-in, then top of that page, God gifts every believer for service. God wants each and every one of you to take the gift he has given to you and use it in service. It's God that gives the gift. And if you don't believe that, I pray by the end of this teaching, you do believe that, that God gives that gift to every believer. Everybody has it. He wants to gift you. And so you don't have to have any special degrees or talents. He will give you the gift and empower you to use that gift. Remember last week, Jeff talked about when he would hire somebody to work in a law office. He didn't want to hire somebody who had previous experience in a different law office because he wanted to be able to use them the way to his abilities, to his strengths, and not have to maybe tear down things that they had from somewhere else. As a former high school basketball coach, I can tell you that when I got players on my team that had bad habits, I had to go back and reteach, and it took me twice as long to teach something to the team because I had to break down those things. God doesn't worry about that because he's going to give you the gift and show you exactly how to use it no matter where you're at in your life right now. Because God gives the perfect gift. There was a time in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's explaining to them, he says, you know what, guys? If you would just knock, he says, the door will be opened. He says, if you seek, you will find. He says, if you ask, you will receive. Now, if you look at the top of your outline, the second verse down, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. And we'll look at that before we get to our focus verse. Because you got to understand this. So understand, Jesus has just talked to them, says, listen, God, if you just ask, you're going to receive. He says, if you seek, you find. If you knock, the door is going to be open for you. In other words, if we go to him, God says, here it is, I'm going to give it to you. He says, if you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, all of you here, good parents, and you try to give your gifts, the best gifts you can, the most appropriate gifts to your children. We try to do the same thing with those two little boys you just saw up on the screen. Sometimes too many gifts according to their parents, but we give them anyway. He's not saying that you're an evil person. What he's saying is, if we in our flesh, in our weaknesses and our frailties and our mistakes, and I'm not the perfect parent, ask my two sons, they'll tell you, I was not the perfect father. I am still not the perfect parent today. What Jesus is saying is, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more who the Father, the creator of the heavens and earth, the who knows everything, that knows you better than you know yourself, how much better will he give a gift to you? Now here's where we can throw out all the excuses that you're going to try to give to me today. And that last part of Matthew 7, verse 11, it says this, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who do what? Who what? Who what? Ask him. So what do you need to do to receive a gift from him? Simply ask. Seek him out. And he gives you the gift that he knows you need to fulfill your purpose in life. He knows. He knows me better than myself. Let me tell you, you think I'm standing here today because of something I've done in my life? I'm only here for one reason, because my gift that God gave me was teach. It's God's gift that I'm using. So if you get something from this lesson today, it's God's gift that you're getting and receiving. It's not me. It's God's gift. 30 years of education, that was my gift, to teach. I was gifted to teach. Some of my students are here. They may disagree with you, but to me, my gift was to teach. I always wanted to show up every day at school early. I never thought about not going to school. I always wanted to be there because I know that's what I was gifted to do. The joy you get from using your gift. And I believe right now, if there ever was a time in the history of Christianity for us to go with our gifts into the world, it is now. Greg Groeschel, who is a Christian author, which some of you have used his books. We've used them here at G&G for studies and stuff in the past. He wrote this one of his books. He says, you know, if you can remember pre-air conditioning, when you used to go out on your front porch and sit in the summertime, and people would come walking down the street and you would actually know your neighbor's name. You would know who lived on your street or on your road because you'd get out and see them before cable TV and before social media. That's kind of almost broken and severed relationships. He says we need to the point where we need to go into the world, I believe so, to use our gifts that God has given us because we're not communicating the way we used to communicate a generation ago. There's a small town in Highland County. Some of you may have known a squash town when I was growing up, in the old town called, the community called Harriet on 124 down below. I remember as a kid growing up on the farm in that area, Dad, if there was nothing to do that evening, Dad would load me and my brother up in the pickup, and we would head to the little shoemaker's grocery there in Harriet. And Dad would get him a pop, and he'd go on the front porch in what a term they don't use much anymore, loaf with some of the other farmers. He would loaf. Me and my brother and some of the town kids there in Harriet, not really a town, the community, would get together and we'd play wiffle ball and kickball, whatever, and Mabel, which some of you know out works out here, was there at the store sometimes, and she'd run me out of the back of the store when I was trying to get me a pop or something, and if I'd break a window or something once in a while. And so, but we had those relationships. The communication was there. And Greg says, I believe we're at the point where we've got to get back out, and I agree with him 100%, to take and go with our gifts into the world that God has given you and I. I heard this on the radio today, and some of you probably heard this. A third of you, it says, I surveyed all these people, a third of you said there was something you cannot eat without having at the table. And that is your phone. 30-some percent of the people said they could not go through a meal without using their phone. Goes right back to what we're talking about. Communication, building relationships with people for a greater purpose. And if you take the class series, you're going to hear that theme throughout the class series about building relationships with people to make a difference, not only in this life, but guess what? In the life to come, eternity. Our focus verse for this series It's coming up on your screen. It comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. We're going to recite this out together, if you would, with me, please. Here we go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let us pray. Father, we are here today to talk about one of the most important teachings that we're going to give. And that's going with our gifts. Those abilities and talents and things that we have been instilled within us by you to make a difference in people's lives. It's an important teaching, Father. Important because every one of us matters in your kingdom. Every one of us has been offered that perfect gift to receive into our lives. Every one of us needs to be gifted by you for service. So, Father, open our hearts and ears to receive today, and may we leave here knowing about gifts and where to go and get plugged in to use our gifts. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Let's take this one step farther. Not only is your gift important to you, but your gift is important to the entire body, which we're going to get into in a minute. Now, most of you know that some of us just come back from Haiti a few weeks ago. And I was on the first team. And we were primarily, we just did construction. Now, there's 10 of us on the team. Now, our main purpose and goal in there was to build trusses. Now, to build trusses in Haiti is so much different than building them back here. You don't just call up the truss company and say, you know, bring them out, we'll set them with the crane. We had to literally lay them out back at the mission. We chalk lined the place out. We cut every piece out, piece by piece, because we have electricity at the mission. Cut them out board by board, piece by piece, and load them onto a truck. And they haul them up to the truck piece by piece. And then when we get up to the mission, up to the top of the mountain, which is a coop, we had to lay those trusses back out, numbered pieces numbered, and lay them out and put them together one piece at a time. This is the perfect example of people using their gifts and talents together. Because I'm telling you, for us to do what we did and the length of time we did was absolutely amazing because everybody stepped in. There were no egos. There was nobody saying. Everybody just stepped in and said, what needs to be done? Let's get it done. And they did it. I can tell you right now, and if you've done any construction, we were putting together, and I timed it one time, we were putting together a truss, putting together, had it set on top of this classroom every 12 minutes. One of those was together. And that's with hammers and nails. And with some of the Haitians, and it was a left-handed community, apparently, because all the gentlemen that were helping us were all left-handed. I said, sorry, guys, we left our left-handed hammers back in the States, so just have to use this one. But it was amazing. People using their gifts and talent. One was humility, because we didn't care. It wasn't an ego. It wasn't like I said, well, this is below my pay grade. I'll catch up to you guys later. Everybody stepped in and did their thing. So you see, when you use your gift, it's not just the gift that God's given you, it's to bless others to come together. Now the scripture we've chose for this lesson comes from Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at 3 through 8 and look at 9 through 13. This is your gold nugget. You've got to get this. What Paul is telling the gift to the Romans, you've got to understand this if we're ever going to use our gifts the way God wants us to use it. He says this. Here we go, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, let's stop there. Grace that is what? Given. There's that given. He gives you the grace. To some of you, right? It says just to some of you? No, Paul says to every one of you. You might want to underline that, every one. Nobody is left out from this. Nobody. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. See, if a couple of us would have thought more highly of the rest of them on our mission trip, I guarantee you we wouldn't accomplish, the trusses wouldn't have been put up, the metal wouldn't have been on the roof, we wouldn't have got anything accomplished. He says, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, and accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Underline that God has distributed to each of you. Because who gives the gifts? God is the one who distributes the gifts. He's the one who decides what your gift needs to be in order to make a difference in the kingdom. It might not be exactly the gift I want to use. I might choose a different one. But God says, this is what you're gifted for. This is your purpose. Use this gift. So he distributes by faith, with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. He goes on to say, just as each of us has one body with many members. And here it is. These members do not have, all have the same function. Each of us has a different function. Each of your body parts, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears. We talked about last night, we had a meeting for our care ministry, which we're trying to get going in 2018 here at Good News Gathering. We talked about, it's amazing how God gave us two ears and one mouth to listen to people. Everything has a different function. And if one of those things isn't working properly, we know what happens. Whether it be your body, your car, your truck, whatever. But here's what he goes on to say. So in Christ we, so who are we? We are in Christ. Circle that. We are in Christ. Though we are many, we form how many bodies? One body. And get this. Here is, to me, here's your golden nugget for the day. To each member belongs to all of the others. Do you understand that you belong to everyone here? When you start to use your gift in ministry and you start to serve, you belong. You got to visualize this group of people here, the ones serving out there in Kids Connection and wherever they may be now. You got to see in the ones in First Service as being one piece with everybody connected to everybody else. That's what it says. We belong to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace. There it is. Grace given. Here it is again. To each of us. Grace given to each. You say, well, we don't have any gifts. Well, right there's a gift. God gave you grace. Amen. Gift of grace to each of us. He says, if your gift is prophesying, he says, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, he says, then go and serve. If it's teaching, then go and teach. If it is to encourage, he says, then go give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, he says, then go do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. He says, whatever you're doing, do it with love and fervor that you're serving him. And then he goes on to say in the last three part verses this, he says, and here it is, we can teach for a month on gifts. Jeff and JD and I could be up here all next month and just teach on gifts. But if you don't get this next part, it doesn't matter. Because here's what it says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Here it is, people. Circle this next part. Be devoted to one another in what? Love. It's all about loving one another and serving together and seeing lives changed. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. In other words, we see the bigger picture. It's not about me. It's about what God is doing through us in love. Another thing they said, we said last night at our care meeting, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. I would take that one step farther. They don't care how much you know until they see how much you care. Do you really love me? Do you really care? This is the theme throughout this scripture here about love and putting others first, being devoted one to another, and we're all in this together. Never lacking zeal, but keep the spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We never must forget that with God we're serving. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Here it is, faithful in prayer. Share the Lord's people who are in need. practice hospitality. Understand this. There is a limited number of spiritual gifts listed in the Bible, but there's an endless number of gifts that God gives you and I. For example, Russ Boone is the poor guy. He always gets stuck when I'm teaching. So he's back there right now trying to keep up with the slides and my handout and all this stuff. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go use your IT experience. Nowhere does it say, go make coffee. The gifts that God has for you and I are endless because all of us are different. We're created different. We're all a little different than the rest of it. And some of you are saying, Wayne, you're more than a little different. You're a whole lot different. That's okay. I've always said I'm the same one as the rest of the world. It's crazy. But here's the thing. Your gift, that first, the next fill in, your gift will go and help make disciples, whatever it is. Whether you're giving, serving coffee or opening the door for somebody or parking cars or teaching the children or passing out things as an usher, whatever it may be you're doing, you're singing to man, you're helping to make disciples. Develop seekers into fully functioning followers of Christ using your gift and your talent that you have, that God has given you. Now, when you come in today, you're all handed a puzzle piece. They even give me one. I made my own. Now, you're going to see right now that this is why I teach and I don't do this, okay? I cut this out yesterday. Is Letty here? No, I don't see Letty. She's in charge of our set design. She would be freaking out right now. She saw my puzzle. Don't ever do that again, Wayne. I will make it the next time. You're all given a puzzle piece. Piece of the puzzle. This represents your gift or gifts. Remember, we've already established each of you. God wants each of you to have that. Understand that? Not to some, but to all of us are given that gift. You're created for that. And this puzzle piece represents your gift. Now let's think for a minute. You choose not to use your gift. What's the first thing you noticed on that slide? I guarantee the first thing you noticed was a missing piece. So if you choose not to use your gift today, if you choose not whatever it may be, let's say the band decided not to use their gift today. They decide not to play. Think how much of a blessing we would already have missed. Or if you got to have your cup of coffee, what if the person makes the coffee? I'm not fixing any coffee today. Or I'm not opening the door today. I'm not helping park car. I'm not doing that. Think about the gifts. So if one is missing, you automatically saw your gift is missing. The puzzle's not complete without your gift being used. So I ask you this, I wonder how many of those gifts have to be missing before we start suffering in service and ministry. We might get by with one missing. If someone didn't show up this morning to do something, we can probably find a fill-in, but what if 10 people didn't show up or 15 didn't use their gift? Then what happens? It's not just here, it's throughout the week with your life groups and wherever you go to minister, some of you at nursing homes and Canines for Christ and all those other ministries outside the walls of the church. And your gift is connected to other people. You see how many pieces that one piece is connected to? So when your gift, when you choose not to use your gift, it doesn't only affect you, it affects those who are right around you, because now there's three or four other people who are missing your service. I can tell you right now, for those of you that serve, and if you serve in ministry, some of your best friends are those, or the people you can count on, are those you serve with in ministry. Because you're connected. So what I tried to do, and my puzzle piece, which if you want to call this a puzzle piece, but the little blue areas here, I mean, kind of represent the different people I'm connected to when I use my gift. I'm plugged in to people. Last night when we met, in a group. There was six or seven of us there, so I'm already connected to six or seven other people. Each gift is unique. Each puzzle piece is a little different because, again, we're all just a little different, but God knows exactly what you and I need. And here's the thing. I said, you throw out all the excuses, because God said, if you just ask me, all you got to do is ask me. Because all you need in order to use your gift in service is to have a heart that's willing to serve and love. If you have a heart or a passion for something, and you want to serve and love, I guarantee you, G&G, we will find a place for you in service. When you leave today, the ushers will be handing out brochures. They're our first serve that has all the ministries connected to G&G and contact information and phone numbers and people's names. Where if you're interested in something, you can just call up and say, hey, I'm interested in this ministry. But your puzzle piece, I will tell you this, and they even give me one that said I had to have one. Your puzzle piece is your puzzle piece. You choose today what you're going to do with it. I can't decide that for you. The person sitting next to you can't decide that for you. You have to choose if you decide to use that gift in love and service to Him. You can throw it in a trash can on your way out if you choose to do that with your gift. But understand this, if you throw your gift away, the puzzle will never be complete. It won't. It will never be complete. So you can even write on the back of your piece what you think maybe your gift would be. And we'll get here in a minute how to get you plugged in, how to find out where your gift is if you're not using a gift yet, if you haven't stepped into ministry yet. We're going to get that in just a second. But I can tell you this. Using my gift in love brings great joy. If you use your gift in love, you will experience joy beyond I can speak of. I'm going to use the free sale because that's something that most of you can relate to. The free sale means the free sale that's going to be taking place in December's already started again. The trailer's already almost full out here. I don't know if they got some things down in the bins already, probably. So it's already started. So months of preparation and work go into that. And then we roll around after Thanksgiving. We start breaking things down and putting the clothes in boxes and sorting things. And then that weekend, we spend the whole week of just putting things out and getting things organized, the hours that go into it. It is time-consuming. It is laborious sometimes, but I can tell you unequivocally, and anybody that serves in there has been here will agree with me, when you see people come in and they leave that day with things they needed to get by, there's no greater joy you're ever going to have in your life when you see things like that happen. No greater joy. We made a visitation yesterday, some of us, to a person here in town that's going through an illness. We left there with great joy. We left there with great joy. I'm here to tell you also, you are gifted by God for a purpose. If you're looking for purpose in life, God says, come and join in because I have a purpose for you. And hopefully it's here connected to G&G somehow. God knows what you need. Something missing in your life, He says, I've got a purpose for you to fulfill. And your gift, understand this, is empowered by God, of course, to bless others. You end up being a blessing to others. And when others use their gift, you get blessed. That's why we're all connected, because when you use your gift, others are getting blessed, and when I or whoever uses our gift, you get blessed. Others get blessed. Think of it this way, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, he goes on to say, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. Paul tells us, he says, I don't care what you're doing, but do it with all your heart, as if serving the Lord. Would you agree with me, in America, we need some of that in our workplace? Work with all your heart. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Never forget who you're serving. Never forget who you're serving. I was up here the day, and we were, as Jeff mentioned, Jeff and JD and I are taking a class called Preaching Rocket, and it's about how to organize and put teachings together and lessons together. And I was up here walking around, and I saw somebody here. They were running the sweeper in here, cleaning. And she was doing it, and she was happy just to be on her day off, just to be here cleaning. And I thought of this scripture. She was working with all of her heart because she knew she was working for God. Just a small part of it. Whatever it may be when serving. So I want you to understand, your piece of the puzzle is just as important as any other piece in the puzzle. There's no one piece more important than the other piece. It all has to be there in order for it to be complete. And you're connected to all the other pieces to be complete. Now, what we want you to have here at G&G is a good experience using your gifts. And Rick Warren, who is the pastor of Saddleback Church, and he wrote books like The Purpose-Driven Life, is one of the leading Christian authors in the world. You may have heard of him. I listened to him a couple weeks ago, and he said there are three zones you're in when you're using your gifts. One zone is a good one where we want you to be in G&G. There's two here we don't want you to be. The first zone we don't want you to be in when you start to use your gift, we don't want you to be what he calls or refers to as the panic zone. The panic zone is you're uncomfortable, you're trying to use the wrong gift at the wrong time. Let me give you an example. I could give you a quick example here, but I won't, of a panic zone. If I walked over and picked up Josh's guitar, first of all, Josh is going to freak out because I'm going to pick up his guitar. He's panicking. If I started to sing and play, I'm going to be in my panic zone, and this entire auditorium would be in a panic. So what is that man thinking? This is not my gift. As much as I would want to use this and play, as much as I love worship and love listening to the music, it's when I get in my truck and on the bike, whatever, the first thing I do is I turn on the music because it blesses me so much. That would be my panic zone. He goes to explain it's like having a job that you're at. The benefits are good, the pay is good, but you just really don't like the job and it's draining you. Or this code comes up, they need help in the nursery, and you go back and there's 10 babies there all in diapers. And if they said, Wayne, why don't you go back and help, that would be a panic zone. Not only for me, but for the babies. Then there's the drone zone, he goes on to say. The drone zone is where you're using your gift, but you're not challenged. You're not using it to its potential. You're not touching enough lives with it. To me, it would be like the varsity football team getting ready the weeks before state playoffs and decide that they're going to start practicing against the freshman or the junior high team. They wouldn't be challenged whatsoever. It would not do them any good. Then he says there's the C zone. And that's where we want you to be at Good News Gathering in the C zone. What's the C zone? The C zone is when you're using your gift, you're challenged, but you're confident, you're committed, and you're in control, and lives are getting blessed. Because you're right where God wants you to be. And even though your faith is stretched, even though you're challenged, you see joy in what you're doing. It's joy to you. It's pure joy. There's a gentleman in our Sunday Night Life group, been in his house a few times, and he's loves working with old cars, trucks. And I've noticed when I'm over once in a while that when he walks back towards his garage, if there's an old car or truck there, he stops and he starts getting in that old car or truck, and he's in his zone, his C zone, because he knows he can tell you what the headlights are supposed to look like, what the fender, everything about that, what year model car, he's in his zone. My hope and prayer is, and his is, that someday may not get certain guys to church, but guess what he can do? He can get them in a garage and use that gift to change lives there. You say, well, Wayne, you've talked a lot about gifts and stuff. Well, how do I get plugged in? Well, they just mentioned a few minutes ago announcements. Class 101 starts next week. In a few weeks, you'll have Class 301. In Class 301, JD will take you through the steps. It's called the shape. He'll look at spiritual gifts. He'll look at your heart, where your heart and your passions are, where your abilities are, where your experiences are. You'll look at all those things, and you'll do a thing, and he'll get you plugged into ministry to find out where you're gifted to serve. It doesn't always work the first time, but there's plenty of ministry opportunities here at G&G to get you plugged in to where your gift fits, to where you will have joy and others will get blessed. It's like working back in the kids' connection. I mean, I know that all the hours that go into the lessons and teaching, but when you see the teachers, when they see those kids leaving there, and they'll go home and tell mom and dad something about they learned, about Jesus, about the Lord, and it's like it's joy because you know you've made a difference. You know you've made a difference. The expectations here at G&G are this, and Jeff gave last week in the inverted triangle where most churches in America are less than 100, 75 or 80 people, because down is the staff, the pastor and the staff, and they're expected to do everything. There's only so much one or two people can do, and it stops. The growth stops. We're just the opposite here, because what our intention here at G&G is this. The pastor or the staff are administrators to help you find where you're gifted, to get you plugged into ministry so you can use the gift that God has given you to go and serve. That's their priority. To equip you for ministry. Why? Because it's the belief of G&G that the people that you are the ministers, you are the people who go forth using your gifts to volunteer, that drive the ministry here at the church. If G&G is going to continue to grow and reach more people, it's going to take all of you using your gift, your puzzle piece, plugged in to reach those people. And that priority is to get you plugged in. That's why we offer the class series. That's why you have 301, to get you plugged in, to find where your strength and weakness are, say, here's some ministries to get plugged into. Because there's two expectations you've got to get before you leave today. Number one is God expects you to use your gift. It is an expectation by God for you to use your gift. He expects you to use it. He doesn't give you a gift and expect you not to use it. The second thing is G&G needs your gift in ministry. I'm telling you right now, we need your gift in ministry to reach more lives. Because we are in a battle eternally for souls. It's about reaching and developing seekers into fully functioning followers of Christ. It's that shape. It's finding your spiritual gift. It's finding out where your heart is, where your abilities are, what your personality is, what your experiences are, getting you plugged into ministry. That's the goal and expectations of Good News Gathering. Everybody to be plugged in, everybody connected. I want you to keep going back to that piece, that puzzle, that every piece is plugged in. Tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality one to another without grumbling. Each of you, not some, not a few, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? Serve others. The gift you receive. In other words, the gift that God has given you, because He knows you best. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. He knows your personality. To use that to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In other words, God's entrusted, get this, God has entrusted with you that gift to use to make a difference in lives. And the core value, one of the core values here at G&G is that number five is service. That we want you plugged in into service, a service opportunity where you can serve together with somebody and others to make a difference in lives. Again, as Jeff said last week, there are no lone rangers in the Bible. We're all called to serve together. And when you're serving, using your gift and service, you are connected to every ministry that's represented at Good News Gathering. It's all connected. Because this all comes down to one thing. Develop seekers into fully functioning followers of Christ. No matter what your gift is. It doesn't matter if it's a 50-piece puzzle, a 100-piece puzzle, a 500-piece puzzle, or a 1,000-piece puzzle. What matters is how many pieces are missing to make it complete. That's the bottom line. How many pieces are missing? My question to you is, are you using your gift in service to God? Are you using your gift in service to God? So, Wayne, I don't know what my gift is. Well, we want you to get plugged into Class 301 then so we can find out what your gift is to get you plugged into ministry. You pick up that brochure on the way out and you go through and you say, you know what, I do this. Use this thing. I can sure make a better puzzle piece than Wayne can. So there's a set design team here that could use your talents if you have any kind of art ability. As you can see, the only time I work with the set design team is they need some construction, something built. I don't do a whole lot of the art side of it. Whatever it may be, you get plugged in with that. We get you there so you can use that piece to bless others. Because the best gift is a gift that blesses others. And why is this hat? You think of this just an old straw hat? Because it's my hope that this gift will go on to touch not only my life, remind me of what my dad meant to me, but he had grandchildren that someday may want that just to remind them of his gift and talents that he had. Or someday this might get returned and he remembers the day he said, I bet Janice forgot that said be a maid for 3 weeks. She might want to take him up on that. A footnote for mom. See, all those other gifts are going to pass away. Those are going to remain because they're given out of love and the meaning that's behind them. So we hope some things you do this week in that box. One, if you haven't accepted that first gift we talked about, that gift that God gave, that perfect gift, we pray that you do that. That's why we exist at G&G, for those who haven't found that gift yet. We discover how to get plugged in by taking the class series that starts next week, 101. I tell you, you'll never understand what G&G is about until you take class 101. And I'll just be real honest with you real quick. I remember when we first started coming here. As many of you know, I was a minister, pastor in the denomination for 20-some years. And we come the first Sunday. And one of the reasons why we came back is because it was the first Sunday in January. And it was snowing and sleeting. And there were people in the parking lot that had umbrellas to keep us dry. And people opened the doors. And man, this is nice. And Jeff wasn't even teaching that week. Sorry, buddy. But it was the atmosphere that you had created that brought us back. I said, there's something special here. So my wife says, you know what? If we're going to go to Good News Natty, she says, I'm taking the class series. I said, I don't need that class series. What are you talking about? I've had a couple years of seminary. I've been pastoring. I don't need that class. Take that. She said, well, if I'm going to Good News Gathering, I'm taking a class series. So I went with her to 101, kind of kicking and screaming. By the first break that we took, I looked at her and says, this is exactly what we've been wanting for 22 years. And I started to understand what G&G was all about. And now if you've taken a class series, you know I help teach the class series. That's how much I believe in it. So I encourage you, class 101. Why you'll understand why they do the things they do here at G&G when you take the class. Or you get plugged into a task group or a life group, which you'll find out will be some of your best friends in the world. You ask anybody here that's in a life group or task group. Or you'll be reading, and several of you here this morning are friends with me on the Bible app. And all hours a day I'm getting people that do verses and scriptures that encourage me throughout the day. And I know they're reading their Bible and encourage me to get deeper. Or you find out what your gift is today before you leave, and we get you plugged into ministry. So think about those boxes there during the week. Get plugged in. And one thing I will make sure I do is if you were here 2 weeks ago and listened to JD, you know, he talked about you have one job. Okay, my one job is to make sure that these get returned to my wife. Be my one job. Your gift. God has a gift for you. It's a special gift just for you. That'll fit your abilities, that'll get you plugged in. Just remember how important it is. If you don't use your gift, there's another piece of the puzzle that's left blank. And how many of those have to be left out before we start to suffer here at Good News Gathering? Before people's lives aren't reached. He expects us and wants us to use our gift. Let us pray. Father, we truly thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you, Father, for who you are, that you are the greatest gift giver ever, that you give the gifts that we need to touch lives. You give the gifts that help us to reach others, to be a blessing, and using those gifts brings joy into our lives, seeing lives changed. So may those gifts be used here at Good News Gathering. And knowing that we're all connected, each to the other, we're responsible for everybody when we're connected to ministry. It all works together to change people for your kingdom. Thank you for giving us abilities. Let us use those gifts today. And we truly give you the praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.